Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat at the table with Brent Kuhlman and Scott Porath, two Lutheran pastors daring to be Lutheran, daring to study the Word of God and actually listen to what it has to say, Brent.
Yeah, that's pretty scandalous.
It is scandalous.
Especially, I'm speaking for myself here. The more I study it, the more it scandalizes me, but it kills me and makes me alive.
The Word of the Lord endures forever. You know, the disciples come to Jesus. Why do you speak to them in parables? They're confused. And then Jesus, what does he do? He gives them a parable, if you will.
Right.
So we have this, the parable of the sower. The sower who goes out and sows, it seems like, with reckless abandon. The seed's just falling all over the place. And last time we were together, folks, we spent a little bit of time talking about the explanation of that parable. But should we finish that off this week, Brent, for him?
Yeah, let's do that. And let's remind everybody, again, why he tells the parables. The key to understanding these kingdom parables in Matthew's gospel is Jesus himself. I'm gonna say that again. If you want to understand what these parables are about, you have to understand who Jesus is, what he has come to do, and what he accomplishes in his life, his suffering, death, and resurrection, and the reaction that he gets. And he gets two kinds of reactions, unbelief and faith. Thus, I repeat, Matthew 13, verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Thus, the parables. You reject me, then everything will be taken from you. You believe in me, you will receive even more. These are why the parables are told. The people who are believers get it. The unbelievers don't. And this is why Jesus does this.
It's very interesting then, if you just scan at Matthew chapter 13, folks, you'll see what does Jesus go on to do. He just goes on to tell a whole bunch of more parables. More of his giving to those who have, and taking away from those who have not. Once again, so these parables speak both to belief and unbelief, don't they?
Yes. And that's why they're called the kingdom parables, because Jesus is the kingdom. God reigns on the earth in him. And so as his word is sown in the world, it gets two responses, rejection for various reasons or reception. Thus, the seed sown along the path, well, what happened to it? Well, the evil one came, snatched it away. Now, that's where we left off last week, I think.
Okay.
Now, the one who received the seed that fell in the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. You've probably seen this many times as a pastor where you have a new convert, if you will, very excited at first. Mm-hmm. But then there are things that come up in their life, and then they're gone. You never see them again. You try and call on them. You try and visit them. You can't make any headway.
Choked out. Yep. And here, you know, here in this setting, too, we have Jesus. He's being sown right before the ears of these hearers.
Right.
And we have all kinds of these responses to it. The seed being taken away, the seed being choked out, but the parable goes on.
See, these parables are helpful for people understanding what ministry and church, what happens. Because we see this happen all the time in the church. People, they receive their word with joy, but it has no root. Now, this speaks to me about a lot of things. One in particular is we are in a culture, now I'm speaking in general, where the clergy, when they accept new converts, sometimes it's a Sunday afternoon getting offering envelopes and assimilating them into the membership in some way, shape, or form. Others, it's like a 12 to 16-week program of instruction where they get the basics, like from the small catechism. And others do it for quite a long time. I think some congregations and pastors take a long time with converts, maybe even a year or 2 or 3 years with people. I know the Roman Catholic Church has a whole adult catechumenate, which is a long time.
Right.
I guess my point in bringing this all up is we need to give people the best pastoral care that we can give them and make sure, well, to the best of our ability.
Right.
That the Word of God will take root and that when trouble comes or persecution for the sake of the world, they don't forsake it. And again, the word here is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when you catechize people and they receive it, it's all about Jesus. Do you believe in him or not? Yeah, I do. Then all of a sudden, they have no use for him. That's why I say these parables are all about. The key to understanding them is Jesus.
And that is, Jesus is the kingdom. The kingdom is near because Jesus is standing right there. And the kingdom comes then to the catechumen as well through this word. Here's Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're being rooted in Jesus. And I guess, you know, part of the tension I think that you're describing, Brent, is, you know, we really desire to firmly, humanly speaking, root them in the Word of God, in Christ. And yet you battle with, you know, all of the other things in the world, calendars, time, you know, those kinds of things.
Naps,
but this
naps.
Is
I'm talking about kids who need their naps. I'm amazed at how many young parents, especially first timers, won't come to church because the child has to take a nap. Have you heard this? I'm seeing this more and more.
Oh my!
Well,
come, Lord Jesus.
We don't despair, because at the end of the parable we hear something good. Next verse, 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but then what happens? Check it out. Worries of this life. The deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. That's all. That's America. And what we see in America is no different than what's always been going on. Nothing new under the sun here. All right, so we see things. We see these things happen. Well, this is why it happens. Why do people fall away? Here's why.
Read that verse again in your translation, end of verse 22.
Okay, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful.
Yeah, deceitfulness of riches, deceitfulness of wealth. That is so true.
If only I get this job.
The deceit, the lie that people swallow, hook, line, and sinker. I need this wealth. I need these riches because then, and then you can fill in the blank. There are many deceived people that we minister to.
Why are you looking at me again? See,
well,
there you go. I'll tell you why.
It's all of us.
You're killing
we
me.
Fall under that spell, don't we?
Yeah.
And this is the deceit of the father of all lies.
Mm-hmm. Remember how he tempted Jesus?
Right.
On the pinnacle of the temple.
I'll give it all to you. The whole kit and caboodle.
So if you only fall down.
Yeah.
And worship me. That's the deceit, as if he had control of it and could actually give it.
He's not very creative, is he?
But we're very stupid. That's part of our sinful nature.
Because we keep falling for the same. I think that's part of the definition of insanity in there somewhere.
Probably. Then verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. Hears the word and understands it, namely that Jesus truly is who he says he is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God, which we'll hear Peter confess in chapter 16. And as the Christ, he will suffer, die, and rise again for the salvation of the world. That is the one who hears the word and understands it. You believe that? And then Jesus says he produces a crop, yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. And we leave that up to the Lord, the fruit of that. In other words, again, back to verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance.
I think we need to think of or hear this vocationally as well. So for those who are pastors then, you know, what does this parable say? You are simply given to sow the seed, to preach the word, to preach Christ. And the results, well, that's not up to you, okay? But for those whose vocation is to be a hearer, You are to hear the word of God, because in that God is at work to produce a harvest. Once again, according, you know, when and where he wills.
Yeah. Another thing with this, since I said that Jesus is the key of these parables, notice that, again, we learn that Jesus, as I've heard many times by one of my professors, Jesus suffers himself to be rejected, which is so scandalous. I mean, why would he do this? Well, he doesn't force his gift, namely of his son and salvation, on anybody.
Yeah, it's not the coercion of the law. It's the gift of the gospel, a promise which is given and received
in
faith.
Yeah. Well, then he tells another parable. Now, what translation do you have?
I have the ESV.
Let's hear it from the ESV this time, the next parable.
Beginning at verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?'" I should have gotten the tone a little better there. Accusatory. "He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' And he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
And notice his concern here for the wheat.
The absolutely.
Concern for the wheat, namely the believers. Well, isn't this amazing? So the kingdom of heaven is like, again, Jesus is the key to understanding this parable. He sows good seed. In other words, he, Jesus, the preaching of his gospel bears fruit.
Yep.
There are believers. But notice, as we've observed many times in our programs here in Matthew's study, the study of Matthew's gospel, that is, that who goes to work when the preaching of Christ crucified and risen for sinners is proclaimed?
Where the Lord builds his church, the devil sets up his chapel right alongside.
Yeah, and as Jesus says in the parable, the enemy has sown weeds.
You know, another thing here, Brent, too, is this parable is similar, the imagery is similar to the previous parable. It's both this imagery of sowing and seed and so forth. But now here, you know, Jesus is dealing with another one of the realities of his kingdom, that where he plants his field, as we say there, the enemy, the devil, has sowed the weeds. And now, well, what do we do? And that's the question, really, for both pastor and hearer here. What do we do?
We let the Lord sort it out.
And Jesus tells us. But will we listen to what he says?
No. Well, you know what I mean when I say that. We should learn to listen to what he says.
But so often I don't.
He'll sort it out at the end. Because you keep in mind that when weeds and darnel, I think that's another translation here for weeds, when they are growing and they're young plants, they look exactly alike. You can't tell the difference. This is part of for lack of better terminology, this is part of the reality of the kingdom. You have people who are in the church who you can't tell whether they're believers or not. You
and
can't.
Emphasis on you.
Yeah.
You cannot tell.
I can't.
The
I
Lord
can't.
Knows.
The Lord does. I don't.
See, the Lord knows the wheat and the weeds.
And again, I want to repeat. His concern is to say, Brent and Scott, don't pull out the weeds, because if you do, you're going to harm the wheat. Don't harm my wheat. So I'll take care of it. Trust me. You know, I'm in charge here. You know, who was it? Alexander Haig, who said, "I'm in charge here." Well, that's like Jesus. He's, "I'm in charge here. Kuhlman and Porath, knock it off. You're so anxious to sort everything out. Leave it to me.
Make things orderly. Clean up God's kingdom a little bit. This just can't be this way. I don't like the way this field looks. You know, for the farmers out there, this would drive them nuts.
And I'm a gardener, and it drives me crazy. Reminds me of Jesus, Matthew 16, "I will build my church, and not even the gates of Hades or hell will prevail against her." This is very similar here.
It's really a first commandment issue, isn't it?
I think so.
Fear, love, and trust in God above all. Who gets to be God here?
Not me.
See, and that's part of the problem in our day-to-day life in the kingdom of God. Who's going to be the king, and who are going to be the subjects who reap the bounties, who receive the gifts which the Lord bestows? "I'll take care of my kingdom," the Lord says. Leave the weeds until the harvest. We'll take a break, back after a bit.